How y'all doing? Will that thing go down? I'm told, but I like it down.
Some of us are near side.
Well, y'all doing all right? Thank y'all for letting me come up here. We'll see if y'all are as excited about it after a while as you are now.
That's right, come on.
Listen, I want to apologize about a lot of things, but number one, I'm not the most educated fellow you've ever run across. Number two, I don't have much time for lazy Americans.
Amen, come on.
All right, now I'm not mad, but you should be sad that you're not somewhere where God's raising the dead.
Amen.
You should be just clawing on the horns of the altar of God. Really, I'm honest. I'm serious. Really. Because if you ever get the chance to see it, nothing will satisfy you anymore.
That's right.
Really, you know, it's true. My last service the other day, I went to, before I was coming here to see y'all, and I got some more stuff to do, but went out to church and 300 armed men fell in behind us, cut the roads off. You know, that kind of thing. That's good newsletter material.
That's right.
We have a saying in our group, don't we, Brother Greg? No guts, no glory, no newsletter story. So that'll tell you how I believe on everything.
Amen.
Let's just do it.
Amen.
Let's let God do it through us, all right? Now, some of you will take me prideful, some of you will take me haughty, some of you arrogant. There's lots of things I've been told that I am. God doesn't look at it like that. God looks at it like He's happy there's somebody that'll at least stand up and say something.
Amen.
That's how God looks at it. How I view myself is not worthy. I don't feel worthy to stand behind your pulpit. That's how I view myself. But God likes to use nuts like me to do something. Let's pray together, please. You can stand up or sit down, ever what you'd like.
Yes, Lord.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I bind the devil.
Yes.
And I thank God for the blood of Jesus. I thank You for the precious, precious blood. Hallelujah. God, we thank You that together we bind every power of darkness, every witchcraft, every authority of hell by the power and glory of the cross. In Jesus' name, devil, You're defeated and You're a liar. Jesus will be exalted by the power of His cross, and the power of His resurrection, and the power of His blood. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God, thank You for the anointing. Change us all, God. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. If you would, get your Bibles. I introduce my wife right over here. Miss Hogan, would you please stand up? There she is. All right. Brother Greg Ryder, how long have we been working together, Brother Greg? Seven years? And would you please stand up and say whatever you want to them, hire or whatever, repent or anything? Brother Greg's been, we're both from Louisiana. The state of Louisiana. He's from the southern state of Louisiana. I'm from the northern state of Louisiana. There's two different states, and it splits about Alexandria.
That's right.
I'm serious. And we're two different kinds of folks, but from the same state. All right, and I grew up a Southern Baptist pastor's boy. I hated the gospel because of hypocrites. I ain't got time for hypocrites. If that's what you are, I'm after you. I'm serious. I just tell you, it's rough on a pastor's son to grow up where hypocrites hang out in the church. It's just rough on us. And I hated the gospel because of that. But you have to live your life for yourself. Hypocrites didn't make me go to hell. If I chose to, I did it myself. Just like real, honest, faithful, God-fearing people don't make me go to heaven. I have to myself. So I had to come to grips with that finally, and God slapped me, and I thank God I got born again. I really did. It was real conversion. God spoke to me in a jet. John chapter 3. So I don't have much time here. See the clock? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to jump off into this. I'm going to try not to waste any more of your time. But I was really trying to seek God. I wanted to be right with you. I don't want to make any mistakes. Not because I fear you. I fear God. I don't fear you at all. But I do fear God. I don't want to hurt anybody. But I do want to enhance everybody's life with God. I do. I don't, like I said, I don't feel worthy to do that. I really don't. There are far better men around than myself. But for some reason, God's doing something with it. That it's His choice. And I'm thankful. I'm happy to be flowing in it. There are the dead are raised.
Yes.
I mean, really. Blinded eyes. The deaf are hearing. The dumb are speaking. Cripples are walking. Cancers are falling off and out of people. Lots of them. Lots of my whole pages here of it. A bunch of them. New, brand new stuff just happened this month. And it's new converts are being born again by the dozens. Dozens and dozens and dozens. Hundreds, actually. And so we're happy. We're happy about that. John chapter 3 and verse 9. You got a man here that has been in his time. Nicodemus was a great religious leader. He was a great man of God in his time. He really, really was. The man really was. Nicodemus. But then there come this lunatic along. This guy that seemed out of flow. He was not in sync with anybody. He was doing his own thing out there. But the reason it was his own thing is because it was God's thing and the rest of them was doing their own thing and he was doing God's thing. Do you see what I'm saying? It seems like when somebody seems like they're out of whack with everybody else and they're not flowing with everybody, it seems like that person is rebellious. But what you need to do is look in here for the signs of God's move on people. Instead of letting religion guide you. This is making sense?
Yeah.
What I'm talking about is being radical and free.
Yeah.
But at the same time, being of an understanding of how to be submitted and flowing with people that are flowing with God. Is this making sense at all? All right. Because see, Nicodemus has a question here in verse 9 that you are going to ask me by the time I leave here. I'm reading out of King James Version. I don't know what you got. Doesn't make any difference. Nicodemus answered. Jesus and Nicodemus is having a talk. And Jesus says right to Jesus, how can these things be? That's a very good question. They're not. The American church is getting deluged finally, it seems like. Mm-hmm. It seems like finally we're beginning to feel a little bit of God, really, the real slap of the Holy Ghost. I like it. Hopefully my terminology won't offend you, but I like it. We're being hammered by the Holy Ghost. And in our work is being hammered by the Holy Ghost. God is driving right in the middle of preaching. Bibles start shaking and Indians who are non-emotional people, period, start shaking and are driven right down to the floor. How can these things be? Only by the Spirit of God. You've got to let it happen. Let it go. Let God open up. Let Him flow on you. Let Him touch you. Quit being isolated. Don't close yourself off to God. If you are who you think you are because of your knowledge of the Bible, I challenge you openly and defiantly to your face as a man or a woman. To your face. Let's see it. I want to see. Because if you got the same God I got, we'll see something happen. See, if God's here and Jesus is being lifted up, God will move. It is that simple. People always look to me, they say, what you preach is too simple. It can't be that simple. You make it any harder than that, you're in trouble. You've complicated the gospel and it won't work for you. That's why it's not because my Indians are stupid and ignorant and goofy. It's because they believe what I tell them. See, you have 150 different books and 500 different tapes. And if you didn't like what I said, you go find somebody limited to this thing here. Oh, yeah, now here's something that'll refute this. Let me stick. Oh, yeah, that's what I believe right there. I don't want to refute nothing. I want God to move. Do you understand that? Nicodemus, how can these things be, my God? How is that possible? Jesus said, well, you're a master of Israel. You people are masters, most of you. Did y'all know that? I would be right to say that you know more Bible than I do. Maybe. It's not how much you know, it's how what you do with what you know. Really. It really is. A lot of people come to services where I'm at in the United States not for the purpose to hear the wonders of God or to participate, but to listen for a slight error in some doctrine so they can refute it. Well, I rebuke you. Come to my work. You can't do it. You can't even walk with it. Much less raise the dead. Well, here this last month, we was averaging 4 or 5 hours a day walking in the mountains, just walking, doing 3 services a day usually. A lot of days, 2 services. Sometimes 10, 12, 14 hours a day walking, just walking. But it's up. And it's hot. And there are communists with guns, and there are witch doctors, and there are other obstacles. We call them opportunities for faith, you know. But your faith says, how can these things be? Mine says, whatever you say, God, let's give us the program. It doesn't matter the obstacle. It matters that God's moving. What my body experiences is immaterial. What's relevant is what God's doing. Do you see? That's really how we view it. That is really why we don't have very many people that stays in our work, too. It's not because we're bad folks. It's just because that's how I view life. Everything's irrelevant except for God raising the dead. That's what's important to me. A and B is not important. The answer is getting God to move. All right. It says, you're a master and you don't know these things? That's what I don't understand. I don't know why you need me. I'm not being smart with you. You don't need me. I don't understand how you can be so knowledgeable, so filled with such... The worship music here will lift you into the... It'll lift you out of here in a minute. And it's good, you know? And you got God, and you've got the Word, and you've got ability, you've got finances, you've got everything that... Everything in the equation that should make it work, but it don't work for you. I don't... it does some. I'm with you, you know it. But I'm, like I said, everything, I term everything by dead raising. Maybe that's, well, you set too high standards. Well, maybe yours is too low.
Amen. Yeah.
Well, if, You know, that's too high. I could never attain that. Well, that's because you believe that. I believe I can. Are we getting any understanding going here? All right. Are you a master? You don't know these things. Verily I say unto you, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen and receive not. You receive not our witness. I'm coming here to talk about things I've seen. I'm coming here to witness about the power of God. That's what I'm doing here. To try to teach, to try to leave a carga. A weight, yeah, but what is it in English? An interest, a burden, Holy Ghost! Leave the Holy Ghost. I told you it's going to be rough coming from Spanish. Don't have the English. I got the Spanish, but not the English. That would be nice. It would be easier, actually. If I told you of earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe? If I tell you heavenly things, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he hath come down from heaven. Even the Son of Man. Now, verse 14 is, look, verse 9 and verse 14 is what I'm really after here. There's two things going on here. There's the mature religious, mature controlling, pastoral teaching in verse 9. It looks at Jesus's idea, which is verse 14. It says you're not going anywhere if you don't lift up the Son of Man. All right, and the modern up to date religious world says, how can these things be? And Jesus's answer is, well, you lift me up and you'll see how it can be. Does that make sense to y'all? It makes a lot of sense to me. I don't know if it makes sense to you at all. But it's verse 9 is a very important question, I think, for us as intelligent, modern Christians that hear of people like myself that are doing things that seem incredible. And they are for a human. But they're entirely possible for God.
That's right.
And that's the difference. When we were coming home the other day, and what happens is, you see, when I go out with just the men, we don't care what the commies and the witch doctors and the Catholics are doing. We care what Jesus wants. We care. What, it doesn't matter if our lives are expendable, whatever, let's go for it. Let's see how big of a gun they've got. Let's just see what they can do. And let's do it. But when the women go, I have a different attitude. And the kids, you're not touching them. Devils ain't touching them. Leave the women and kids alone. You want somebody, I'm the guy you want, but you don't touch these people. So, but we had women and kids along, and they closed the road off behind us, and it got serious because they're mad. They're mad at everything. It doesn't matter. They're mad at everything. And in my opinion, they have a right to be mad. That's my opinion. I know those people. I've lived with them now for 19 years, and they've got a right to be mad. All right. But how are we going to get these kids and women out of this situation? What can we do? You sitting here, you tell me, well, just have faith, Brother Hogan. Don't like that attitude. Because you're not down there with your wife having an AK-47 stuff between her eyeballs. Now, we swap situation and you would understand what I'm trying to say. The idea is to keep Jesus lifted up. You can't show fear to the women and kids and everybody. You've got to listen to God in the extreme circumstance. Do you hear me? First place is, how did you get yourself into this? That's what number 9 would say. A religious idea or wisdom from this world would say, how did you get in that predicament in the first place? What's wrong with you? What did you do wrong? Did you not pray? Did you not fast? Did you not seek the Lord? Was you not what y'all call prayed up? You know, there's What brings about these circumstances is the devil hates the gospel. And if you love Jesus and you love the gospel, you're going to run into this problem every now and then. If you love Jesus. Isaiah 61. I'm all right so far, right? All right. Got a multitude of things to say here. All right. Isaiah 61. We've got to lift up Jesus. See, the Son of Man, everything you do, every day of your life, regardless of where you are, you've got to lift up Jesus. So I told the men, we had this little meeting, and there was one of the men that has been in this circumstance before. I've been in this probably by now several hundred times in where the guns and all the violence is. And he says to me, which is normal thought. This, can't we reason with them? You know, that's a normal American idea. It's a great capitalist function, but it just don't work in these kind of situations. We have to have Jesus and not America. Just forget that you're an American and just try once in a while to act like you're a stranger here and that this is really not your territory. God's kingdom is really your home. And that we really belong to Him, that we really are bought with a price, and that He really does have charge and authority over us, and it doesn't matter what the devil says. Just try to use that one once. But in the middle of the heat of the circumstance, I looked at this guy. It was so out of place to hear that, standing on the side of a mountain on a trail. You got women and kids, and the thing got, you know, and I'm looking at him. We don't need American ideas. What we need is the Holy Ghost. We need to lift up Jesus. We need to be healed. Do you understand that? We need to be delivered. We need to be saved. That's what we need. We need it. And I looked at him, I said, well, that's not what we're going to do. You don't reason with demons. You rebuke devils. You cast out devils. That's what you do with devils. And so, see, look here. In verse 1 of chapter 61, I really love this. See, the problem with me is you can read it in the first phrase. It's the same problem Jesus had. How can these things be? David, Jesus, because the Spirit of the Lord God told me. That's why. That's the whole problem. It's not my fault. It's not. It is not my fault. I'm not some lunatic that just likes to go out here and get communists after me. I can get better newsletters somewhere else than having kids and women put under a gun. Is this making any kind of sense? The problem is the Holy Ghost is on me. And the devil hates that. He hates it when you're filled with the Holy Ghost. The devil hates that. God likes it. So you go out here and there's this great big game being played between God and the devil. It's maneuvering and carrying on. And He loves for us to whoop the devil at the devil's own game. Because it's the anointing. It's lifting up Jesus. These things can be only because of the anointing of God and lifting up the name of Jesus. So you take off, you tell these guys, all right, here's what you're going to do. You four guys, which are out here without your wives and your children, you're going to go on deeper into the territory and do the work we're out here to do. Now, the rest of y'all are going to load up in this other truck over here, this four-wheel drive, and myself and another lunatic that works with me named Jeff Baker, we're going to personally see to it that these women and children are taken out of here, and we're going to have ourselves a lot of fun. Well, do you know the back way? No. Is there a back way? Don't know. Who knows? Got it made then, don't we? Is that true or not?
Yes, sir.
Now, you say it is, but is it?
Yes, sir.
It is. I'm standing here, right? They didn't get me. Ha ha. Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord God is where? He's on me. You listen to me. You've got the Holy Ghost. If you don't, we're going to pray for you in just a minute. And God's going to touch you. If you're sick in your body, the Spirit of the Lord God will drive disease from you. Doesn't matter what its name is. I mean, it doesn't make any difference. Just the other day, there was a guy. What was wrong with this guy? Oh, yes. He had leprosy on him for 10 years. No, yeah, 10 years. He couldn't walk. He was bedridden. And it was over in my son. Said, I have a boy that's 20. What was he, 23? 22, something like that. And he works with me. He's been through Bible school and everything. He works with us down there. He's married and everything. And they went out there. They prayed for this guy. He got born again. Now, see, the Spirit of God's on us, you see. To preach. What are you going to preach? Good tidings. Good things. It's my job to look at these women and kids and be excited in the middle of calamity. They know, they feel the presence and the problem, but it matters how I lead in the problem.
Amen.
If the Holy Ghost is on us and He's with us, then I had some young guys there looking at me there, all of them guys, 14, 15, 16 years old, and all of them were, there was a whole bunch of them, four or five of them. And they looked at me and they said, Brother David, what's going to happen? I said, Jesus is going to touch us. And they looked at me and said, we believe that because you're with us. I said, no, no, that's not why. It's because Jesus is with us. It's all right for people to trust you, but they can't see you. You've got to show them Jesus. Because Jesus is their answer, not you. It don't matter how good, how healthy, how strong, how vibrant, how charismatic. It does. If you're showing them that, you're showing them something wrong. They've got to see Jesus. That's where the power is. That's where the Holy Ghost is. That's where your deliverance is.
Amen.
Is in Jesus. Jesus. So, we got delivered, and I got out of there with them. All of them. We had fun. I was all the way out through the mountain. I was riding in the back of the truck, showing them the poison plants and the good plants. All the way out, just having a blast, laughing, playing with them kids, just like they won the devil in 100 million miles. Because they were there. But guess who else was? Jesus. Because the Spirit of God's on us. Do you get it? Are you getting it? I hope you are. Because the Spirit of the Lord is anointed us to preach the good tidings of the meek. He sent us to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, open the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint them in that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, garment of praise for what? Listen, there's always demonic activity against you as a Christian. But you can't allow it to chain you back up like it had you before. You can't go through the motions and you can't speak in tongues and dance because it's right. You've got to do it. You've got to do it because you're doing it to Jesus. Not just because somebody expects it out of you. I will not live in the ashes unless it's to fast again. I won't do it. I rebuke the devil. Ain't going to do it. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the Spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that what? For what reason? What is the reason? To lift Him up! That's the reason. That's the whole reason for our existence, is to worship Jesus. And it doesn't matter if you're laying hands on a man that's got a tumor hanging off his foot, and he hadn't walked, he's been bedridden for 10 years, and leprosy's climbed up his leg and eaten him all up. If you look at it from God's viewpoint, what do you see? You see healed and blessed. If you dwell and stay down in the mire with the problem and the sore and the hurt and the pain, you'll never get the man out of there. The man has to see Jesus through you. The man has to experience what you have in the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Are you with me yet? So these are real problems, probably more severe than you've encountered in a while. But what I want you to see is, to God, there is no gauge of problems, how big they are. To God, they're all wiped clean. If we can somehow lift up Jesus. It is a struggle occasionally, I do admit that, to keep Him lifted up. Because the devil, like I said, he's always after you, tormenting you and fooling with you. Well, he is me, because I've got the Holy Ghost. That's why he's after me. That's my problem, you see. It's not because I'm any better or any worse than anyone else. It's I've got the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. That's what I've got. The Holy Ghost. Jesus be glorified. You should see that old man walking around after 10 years of being crippled. How does he feel? What do you think he thinks about me? That's what he thinks. You know what God thinks? The same thing! I'm serious. I really am. To lift up Jesus. If we lift up Jesus, we're going to get the victory. If we lift up the problem, it will get the victory. And then you'll be that whipped person saying, in John chapter 3 and verse 9, how can these things be? With all the knowledge and all the mastery of that America possesses through the teaching and the gospel that has been in this country for several hundred years, how can you look at me and say, how can these things be? I don't copy that. I don't get that. I can't receive that. I won't receive that. You're going to change. I'm not. These things are this way because of Jesus. Church, we've got to lift up Jesus. And I want us to. Right now. Oh, look at that. Pretty close. Would y'all stand up, please? Apologize to y'all about everything, but let's just lift up Jesus. Look at here. I just invite you to come back and give me another shot at you tomorrow, tonight, or something. Because there's a couple of things I'd like to tell you. I think would help you and change you. Me too. Here's what I want you to do. Ever how you know how to worship God? This is my first time to ever be here. I don't know how you worship God. I saw a little bit earlier. But I want you just to slip your hands up to Jesus. Covenant with Him. Lord Jesus, I rebuke the devil. Say that.
Lord Jesus, I rebuke the devil.
Can I ask you
to help me?
Know how to glorify the Father through Jesus' name.
Holy Ghost,
anoint me now. In Jesus' name. Now I just want you to receive that. Do you know anything about the blood of Jesus? Would you play something about the blood of Jesus? I just want you people just to receive the Holy Ghost. Let God come on you, please. In the name of Jesus, mighty Holy Ghost, I ask you to sweep this place. Please, God. We love you. In the name of Jesus. Holy Ghost. Mighty presence of God. We exalt you, God. We extol you, Father. You are worthy, Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, we receive. We all drink together in Jesus' name. Now I want to ask you if you have some kind of a burden in your heart that you've been living with. Whether it's a sickness or a disease, whether it's a self-inflicted wound, a self-inflicted spiritual wound. I would like to ask you to come down here. We're going to pray with you just for a minute. In Jesus' name. Maybe you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Maybe you need to be born again. Please. If you need to be born again, please come straight to me. I need you to receive Jesus as Lord of your life. It's the most important thing you could ever do in your life. In the name of Jesus, mighty Holy Ghost.